Blog Talk Radio.
So, what I what I have from the last time we talked is that you do a lot of work with spirit and helping people, what did I write down, live from their true essence, and coaching from spirit is a phrase I wrote down. So what is that, and what is that approach about?
Those are actually two different things. Coaching from Spirit Institute is a coaching business that I work very closely with. It was created by a woman named Sharon Wilson, and through that company right now we are designing a membership for heart-centered business owners to come in and really get the support that we all need in our businesses. You know, there are a lot of programs out there that give you the nuts and bolts of business building, and those pieces are important. But then it's after you have those nuts and bolts, it's the support that you need to continue to take those actions so that you can bring that learning into your business and to start to generate income. So that's one thing that I do. And then the thing that my heart feels really called towards doing is working with what I like to call the archetype of the sacred woman. In my own journey, I have not always honored the fact that I am feminine. And, you know, we live in a very masculine dominated world. And I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that that's what our experience has been, or what my experience has been. I'll refer to myself. And now that I'm in my 40s, I'm all of a sudden being brought around to this feminine nature and this feminine essence that we all have. And since I've been doing that and really honoring the feminine side of me and connecting with my essence and bringing it into everything that I've done, it's brought a really beautiful healing and transformation to my life. And so that's what I am now dedicating my own work to, is helping women get back in touch with their own essence and to bring that into every area of their life and their business.
That's beautiful. I think that's, even that phrase, there's something about that phrase, the archetype of the sacred woman, that is very soothing to me, or something. I think there's something really powerful there. So is this work that you do, so there's two things we've outlined. So the coaching from the Spirit Institute is a program you're working with in addition to a separate piece of work you do, which is the archetype of the sacred woman.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, and I do the work with the archetype through my business called Sacred Vision Life.
And who is drawn to work with you?
Well, I work primarily with women, and, you know, primarily with women who feel stuck in some way. You know, I referred earlier to, you know, using our mind in such a way that we understand a concept. And it's important that we do that. But then once we understand that concept and we want to take action, there needs to be an inner alignment in order for us to take that action in a way that feels good. I think the male has a way of kind of creating pressure and creating this sense of urgency, which we all need at times. However, I think we've just bought too much into that. And bringing the feminine and the archetype of the sacred woman into our lives helps us to slow down, and it helps us to really incubate an idea and to hold on to that idea until it's ready to be given birth to. And it's a completely different way of bringing things into the world, and it's something that feels more natural. Like, what did you say? You said the archetype of the sacred woman has this energy of comfort.
I think I used the word soothing.
Soothing, yeah. Mm. And I think that as women, we naturally are drawn to that energy. Mm. You know, we're nurturers, and yet we just haven't given ourselves the space to either nurture ourselves or nurture certain parts of our life, or, you know, we just haven't been taught to come from that perspective. And I've really learned that we can come from that perspective in all areas of our life, and when we're building a business, and that it helps us to feed ourselves and fill ourselves up, so that we're not always doing things from a place of lack, or of, you know, just giving our energy away without replenishing it. It's really important that we take some time every day to replenish ourselves, and then we can give from this place that's full. We can give from this place that's loving and joyful, and I think we all have this desire within us to be this way in the world.
There's so much this is a rich area. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of when someone is pregnant, mm-hmm. and taking care of themselves naturally, that is extended to the child there, getting ready to birth. Mm-hmm. And we can't, you know, the idea that we can't determine when that will be, we have to allow, we have to relax into it and put our energy not into forcing it, but to not into making it happen, but into taking care of ourselves, letting it happen, relaxing, allowing, all of these things. It's really a different mindset. It's really a different experience of everything, really.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You know, I mean, if we have given birth to a child, we know that once that labor starts, you need to go with it. You know, you don't really have a choice. And there's that trust and that faith. And you know, there's that allowing of what's going to happen. And, yeah, it is a very different perspective to be able to look at all things in that way. Whether you're male or female, you know, there's a certain, we all have male and female energy within us. We all have access to these parts of ourselves, and so, you know, it's important to find the balance. There's a partnership that can happen between your male and female, and instead of butting heads and fighting, we can actually bring them together in harmony so that they move together. And when they move together, there's this dance, you know, there's this allowance. You know, life is busy. You know, life is busy. And then when you have your own business as well, it's amazing how much we can accomplish when we allow ourselves to flow with what is coming into our lives, and to accept it rather than try to assess it and to judge it and figure it out. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's when we're just in that moment. And we're in that flow.
I know this is a new thing in my life, allowing this type. I would not have been aware of wording it this way, but this is a new thing for me, so it resonates. And, you know, I spent many years doing what I thought would lead to success, which was to push, you know, and work hard, and all of the things our society tells us to do. And, it, you know, when I was younger and I had this unlimited energy, it felt like, to do things in that way, but I didn't replenish myself, and I hit a wall, and I had to learn, I was kind of forced to learn how to do the things you're speaking about. And what's coming to mind for me is how much I struggled with that, and I imagine a lot of people do struggle, a lot of women struggle with this, but on the other end, when you move through it, there is flow. It is beautiful. It is a nicer way to live. But it is a different thing. It's an easing into something. Not saying I'm going to make it happen, but like I'm going to allow it to happen. And what do you see in the transition of women that work with you? Like, what are the, I guess I'm asking, what are the phases or what are the stages people go through, or how does someone even know that they might benefit from transitioning to this way?
That's a great question, you know, and it's really about taking one step at a time. You know, it's about noticing that there are things in your life that aren't working, and first of all, accepting that. So if the first stage or phase is really about learning to accept what has come before, where it is you are now, what's developed in your life, and then accepting that as being okay. A lot of the times we judge ourselves for the shoulds and the should haves that might not have happened or might not happening right now. So going through that acceptance, it gives you that space for something new to come in. And then once that acceptance is there, it's really cultivating that connection to you and to learn the difference between your own voice and the voices of others. You know, we've all been told so many things about who we are, what we're good at, what we should do, what's a good idea or a bad idea, or good behavior or bad behavior. We need to kind of start to listen in a different way and ask, is this me or is this something that's been given to me? And then once we start to recognize that, we can then start to make different choices. We can choose to believe and to keep certain things that work for us. And then there's that letting go of what doesn't work anymore. And once we start that letting go process, that's where the magic happens. Because when we let go of something, there's all of a sudden this space that appears. And inside of that space, you get to put your own voice. You get to put your own energy. And you get to create something that has movement to it. You know, a lot of the things that we've been given, they become stagnant. And it becomes, well, that's just who I am. Well, in actual fact, we have this ability, once we uncover that, to then change it into, you know, I am now this. And this is able to have movement through all areas of my life. And when that does, that's when the transformation happens. And then when you stand in that transformation and then you embrace the transformation, it can be rocky sometimes. You know, I'm not saying that all of this is very easy peasy. That's why I started by saying it's just one step at a time. But when you embrace that transformation, there's so much beauty, so much love, so much joy in the simple things that we are surrounded by. And once we tap into those simple things and we focus on that and we bring in the appreciation for what is already here, there's a growth that just naturally happens.
Well, this idea really resonates with me, this idea of accepting, noticing and accepting without judgment what is going on. And the other idea that's very powerful is learning what is your own voice versus what is the voice of others. And I apply these two principles to the work I do with healing and health, helping people recover their health. And it's just interesting that it's something you do with in a different context, but they're very powerful ideas. Learning, you know, what we've taken on that really doesn't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. That's powerful because it speaks to culture, right? It speaks to marketing. It speaks to, you know, messages we get from television and what, you know, the idea that we could choose what to embrace and what not to embrace as part of us, you know, and could you say more about that?
Yeah. Learning to embrace us. Yeah, learning to stand in your own space. You know, there is an energetic side to life that we can't see and generally isn't talked about within the family structure. And, you know, taking on the truths or beliefs of that family structure, it's like we're blending energies. And so you're trying to be this individual within this group, and yet we have somehow given away our energy. And so coming back to this acceptance and to this honoring what's true for you is bringing you back to your individuality. And when you come back to that individual person that you are, the way that you interact with the group, it changes. Mm. It becomes more rich. It becomes more fulfilling for everyone, not just for you, because you give yourself permission to stand on your own. And when you do that, you get to choose the perspective that you see things. And it's such a gift to be able to look at a situation and choose to see it from love. I can give you an example. My father has been in and out of the hospital since January. And, you know, as most girls, my father is, you know, this big energy. He's this big rock. He's the one that's cared for us and given us the life that I've had, you know, while I was under his roof. And all of a sudden, I was seeing him in a completely different life. You know, he was very ill. He had to be pushed around in a wheelchair for a while. You know, I was going and giving him Reiki because he was asking for help. And at first, this was really hard for me. And so what I did was I practiced these principles. And so I accepted my own feelings about this, knowing that, okay, I'm in a different stage of life, and so is my father. And there is going to be a time when he's no longer here. And I had to accept the way that I felt about that. Mm. And so I went through this grieving period, you know, where I really had to feel what it was going to be like to lose him. And that was very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I had to, but I had to honor that. And so I accepted that, and then I was able to come from this place of love. I was able to come from this place that this is such a gift that I get to go and I get to care for my dad. He spent so many years taking care of me, and now all of a sudden it's my turn. And I get to go and I get to give him this beautiful healing energy, this Reiki energy that I have learned how to channel. And he feels better for it and he appreciates it. And all I have to do is love him through this whole process.
And I also hear in that story that you were able to be flexible and flow within the changing dynamic of that relationship.
Yeah, because I was able to honor the way that I felt, and through that, I wasn't holding any energy into my body. You know, I wasn't avoiding anything. I wasn't saying, no, it's not okay. I can't be upset about this because there's still so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to be first. And then when I was able to be with myself, then the doing took on a different energy. It took on a different life.
Mm. And also responding to what is, responding to who your father is, not who he was for you. Not holding that rigid picture of, you know, my father was always the strong one, and now, you know, just to accepting, you know, the flow. right, of relationships. They change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, on top of that happening, I still have my own family to look after. I still have two young girls. I still have my husband, myself. I still have my business to look after. I still have the relationship with my mother, who's going through her own stuff that's, you know, happening and that she's experiencing, seeing my father in this way too. So, you know, once I take care of myself, and I honor myself and I can be accepting, then all of a sudden there is this energy flow so that everything else takes on a life too. It's all my relationships that are able to shift from that place. It's not just one.
How did you come to this? How did you come to this place where you could do this? And I imagine, you know, you had alluded to a time when this wasn't necessarily so automatic for you. Can you talk a little bit about your process or the things that happened along the way for you to, you know, wake you up to this way?
Sure. I spent a lot of my life avoiding anything that felt bad. Because that's what was taught to me, you know. And when I talk about this, I'm not placing blame anywhere, because I know and I believe that we all do the best we can with what we have at any given moment. And I just came to a moment in my life where a lot of the things that I had learned were serving my demise rather than my growth. And when this happened, I was thousands of miles away from home. Mm-hmm. I was in Australia with my husband, and we were living on an island, and we were living on this 550-hectare farm. I mean, talk about being isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into a really deep, dark place. You know, I give it the name of depression because I knew that people can connect to that. But really, what happened was that everything just seemed to come to the surface. And I didn't have any tools. I didn't know what to do with any of it. And so what I did was I shut my body down. And what ended up happening when I did that is I just disconnected myself from life. I was on a farm, so there was lots of activity. And there was a community that was there. I mean, there was myself and my husband. There was a family that owned and ran the farm. There were the volunteers that used to come and help us to do the farming, because it was organic farming. Most of it was done by hand. And we were getting back into connection with the earth, which we had lost. And at that time, I was cooking. I was a chef. I was working in the restaurant, and we were able to grow our own food and to bring it in. And we were given this different perspective about life. And it was at that time that everything that wasn't in alignment with what I was doing came to the surface, and I didn't have any tools. I mentioned Reiki. Reiki was one thing that helped introduce me to the energetics of life, that we are all energy, and that this energy, when it's allowed to flow through us, that there can be healing. And so that helped me.
So you had Reiki training before this experience of everything coming up for you?
It was after.
Okay.
It was after. The man who was developing the farm, he used to be a social worker. And so he recognized in my behavior that I was depressed. And he was the one that recommended Reiki for me. He paid for my training because he had a Reiki master that he was taught from. And so that's how I got introduced to it.
Okay.
And the Reiki really helped me. It helped me get back in touch with my own voice, like I was talking. It helped me to accept where I was and to really understand and believe that it could be different. I didn't have a model before that things could actually be different, that they could change, you know, I guess I was holding that belief that, well, this is the way that I am. And come to think of it, I can hear myself saying that during that time in my life a lot. Well, this is the way that I am. But I was traveling a lot during that time, and I was working in a lot of different places. And everywhere I would go, I would hear the same story about myself, you know, that I was hard to work with, that my moods affected the people that were around me, and that I wasn't always a joy to be around.
Oh, so you were getting some feedback from the world, kind of mirroring what was inside of you. Okay.
Yeah.
Which helped you become aware of yourself, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then Mark, who was a farmer, he said to me, you know, maybe you should just try Prozac for a little while to remember what it feels like to be happy. And those words cut through anything and everything that I believed about myself, or anything and everything that I was trying to hold together. And when I got those words, I was like, okay, enough's enough. Like, there's really something that's not right here, and I have to wake up. I need to take responsibility for it. And I'm the only one that can change what's going on here. And
what was it about that statement that led you to that way of thinking? When he said, try Prozac so you can remember to be happy. What it sounds like there was something in that statement that opened something up inside of you.
Well, yeah, there was. I mean, I guess there was a lot of things that went through my mind in that split kind of flash moment. You know, if I start on that road, that's kind of like a lifetime sentence. And the reason why I felt that way is because there was another person on the farm who was taking Prozac, and I had watched him try to wean himself off of it.
Okay.
Because he felt ready to wean himself off of it, and I saw how difficult that was, and he would go back and forth, and to see the difference in his face, and to see the difference in him when he was on to when he wasn't on.
Okay.
The medication. And so that's what it was.
So it was like a red flag for you, a wake-up call?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, up until that point, did you think of yourself as a happy person, and hearing this person say this to you maybe made you realize you weren't as happy as you thought you were?
Exactly. I mean, I thought I was happy. Here I was living my dream. I was a chef. I was traveling the world. I had met and married the love of my life. We were living in paradise. I mean, that island is so beautiful. There are so many things there that just had me in awe. You know, getting back to nature, it brought me back to times in my childhood. It brought me back to these magical things that I had disconnected from, because now it's time to be an adult.
Mm-hmm. Right. Forget all that other fun stuff, right?
Yeah, and it was all there. So here I was. In this place, I was learning how to grow my own food. I was getting back to really being connected with life, with that vital life force, you know, that I had been disconnected from. And yet, here I was stuck in bed, unable to talk, unable to express how I was feeling, not knowing how I really got there, or not knowing how to get out of it.
Right. All these wonderful things going on outside of you, and yet, why am I not feeling as happy as I want to feel?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mhm.
So there was the wake up call, and then you took the Reiki course, and is that when something shifted for you, or were there other things along the way that helped you get realigned, maybe, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Reiki was definitely my introduction. And then I had a second incident, and I don't know if we talked about this last time, but we were getting ready for a new season to begin at the farm. It was actually a tourist attraction, and people would come in, and we would make lunch, and they would have tours in. And so we were getting ready for this to start after the winter, and we were in a meeting, and a person, again, said, well, sometimes I find it very hard to work with you, Melissa. And I thought, here we go again. It's being mirrored back. I've made these changes. Like, why is this still here? Mm-hmm. And as I was sitting at the table, the tears started to flow down my face, and I thought, this is ridiculous, and I left. And I sat in my room, and the tears wouldn't stop. They just kept coming. And I thought, what's going on? Like, I'm losing it. Like, I can't make this stop. How come I can't change this? And, you know, I would quiet my mind. And it was only when I quieted my mind that the tears would stop. As soon as a new thought would come into my head, the tears would start again. And I
went, wow. I just want to stop there because that's an amazing insight. And I just want to pause and take that in before you continue. But go ahead. I think that's an amazing insight.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I went through about 48 hours of that. And it was lessening and lessening as I did. And so it just came to me, I need more help. There's got to be something else that can help me get what it is that I need, because I'd already gotten some help. I knew there had to be something more. And I always looked at the natural part of life. I was always very healthy. I was very athletic when I was growing up. I watched my diet. I took care of my body. You know, being healthy was very important to me. You know, I didn't take aspirin when I had a headache and things like that. That was how I grew up. So that was naturally what I gravitated towards when I was looking for something to help me. And again, that's why the Prozac comment caught my attention so fully, because that wasn't a route that I ever contemplated taking. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have been anything that I would have thought of. And so I went out and I looked and I came across. What I did was I went to health food stores and I grabbed up all the free magazines that they had, and I started looking through and looking for something. And I came home. I had to go off island to do that because I had to go into town. And so when I came home, dinner wasn't quite ready yet. And so I gathered all the magazines and I took them into our room and I started looking at them from back to front instead of beginning at the beginning. And again, this is always a moment that I will remember too. I flipped over this page and all of a sudden this woman's face just staring at me from the page, and there was words on the page and something, I don't even remember what the words are, but they just spoke to me. And again, it got through whatever filters, you know, that I had to kind of protect myself. And I thought to I remember thinking to myself, that's it. That is what I need. And it is a process that's called the journey, and it is designed by a woman named Brandon Bays. And I researched it. I went to an information session on it to know more about it. And again, as soon as I got in the room and this video played of her, tears started streaming down my face, and I was like, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. I think, you know, there have been a part of me that always felt like I was missing a whole part of life. I was missing this piece. It was like there was something that I didn't know yet, and I knew it was there. And all of a sudden, seeing this woman's face for whatever reason gave me that feeling, this is what it is. This is what I've been searching for. And so I went to the first weekend seminar that she offers. And I went through the weekend, and we do these healing processes. And I thought I did it all wrong, and I didn't have as great an experience as everybody else in the room. And I left feeling different, but I also left feeling disappointed. And then I got home, and we were going through our time, and I started to feel different. And my husband said to me, he said, you know, something's changed within you. He said, I can't quite figure out what it is, but there's definitely a difference. And many years later, he said to me, you know, after that first weekend, I've never seen you fall into that depression pattern again.
Mm.
And here I was thinking I did it wrong.
Right, because you were watching what other people were going through and it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Right.
And ultimately what the journey gave me was that it gave me connection back to my spirit. It gave me knowledge that we are not just these bodies. We are not just these personalities. That we are actually connected to the source that we were born from. So we were born from this divine love. We were born from this energy. You know, we were given this life. And that by fostering this connection, you know, I call it the archetype of the sacred woman. But every single day I am sitting on my meditation mat and I am asking for a direct connection to the divine.
Mm.
And it is that connection that has changed my life. It's that connection that has given me permission. It's that connection that's given me courage. It's that connection that has allowed me to continue to grow, to continue going inside and pulling out all those weeds,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that those flowers can grow, so that I can plant those seeds. And I can watch as the plants grow, and I can watch as, you know, the flowers appear and then the fruit appears. And so it's just been this journey of continual learning and continual growth and continuing to turn inward and to dive in to see what's not quite in alignment with how I want to live every moment. You know, the beautiful thing about going to seminars where, you know, there's great healing and there's heart work and there's this opening is that you get connected to people in a way that I've never kind of experienced outside of that. And so that energy, it feeds you. You know, it nourishes you. Whenever I'm feeling down, I think of that community and of those people that I connected to, and I think of specific moments when somebody said the exact right thing to me when I was in fear and in resistance, and they've said a simple thing to me, and all of a sudden I was able to let go of that fear and that resistance and dive back into myself. And every time I've done that, the gifts and the beauty and the love and the joy and the peace that I have found, it's worth everything to me. And the fact that I get to help people to do that, it's amazing. And I'm in awe with my life now. You know, when I get to help a client to see something from a different perspective and then see how that energy then transforms different things in their life. It's just, it's such a gift. It's such a joy. How could I, you know, how could I not do that?
And how can you not enjoy it?
And how can I not enjoy
watching,
it?
Right. Yeah, and there's something beautiful in this story because I don't even know kind of what to pinpoint. I just I've been through similar challenges, and when you're looking for something and it feels like it's outside of you, and that can be very painful. And you're looking, you're reading. I mean, I would study, read, seek, you know, but when someone can help you experience the shift, that's miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very different than reading about it.
That's a very important point.
Yeah.
You know, we go through our schooling here in the West of learning knowledge from a book and
yeah.
to memorize it. And we don't always get taught how to apply it into our life.
Right.
But in actual fact, the best way that we've learned, and traveling taught me this, was from experience.
Yeah.
It's an experience you will always remember. A sentence that you read in a book, you have to memorize it, and you have to work at remembering what that sentence is, what it means, and how to apply it. But once someone has an experience of something, it's in their body. It becomes a part of your cellular structure, and it becomes a part of who you are. And that's completely different.
It's almost like reading about riding a bicycle versus having someone help you ride a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely different. You could read about it for 10 years and know everything there is to know about riding a bicycle, but when someone actually like stands along the bicycle and runs with you until you feel it, and then they can let go of you and you feel it, like that's a metaphor that's come up for me a lot recently about how this all works, where we help each other experience the thing, you know, that connection or that feeling. And we have to find people that know how to ride the bicycle to learn how to ride the bicycle, like these workshops or whatever it is we're drawn to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about, you know, the evolution of our society. You know, before we wrote things down, we told stories. And through stories, you know, we have the ability to use our imaginations. And when we use our imaginations, we can put ourselves inside of a story. And when we do that, we get to experience the story. And we get to each have our own experience. You and I could read the same story and have a completely different experience of the same story. And so it's important to recognize that, you know, this imagination that we have, it takes us places and we experience things, and it's okay to honor the way that you experience something and to honor the fact that it's different from somebody else's experience, and that for us coming together and sharing these experiences, it makes things that much more rich at the end of it.
Very well put. And this is why I want to, I think this will be a great place to thank you for sharing your story, because you've gone to a very personal place in your life and a difficult one, but I have the faith and the belief that someone who finds this episode of the radio show and listening to it will get something from it. And you know, thank you for going to that place and for, you know, teasing it out. I do think the more we share our stories and our transitions, and just not just the outcome of how I got to this great place, but what it took to get there is important. So I really appreciate that. I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate being asked to share it, because, you know, I know that I didn't necessarily have anyone to tell me that life could be different. It was kind of something I needed to look out for on my own. So in any way that I can support someone in coming to that place with saying, oh, it's okay the way that I am, even though I feel like I'm broken, even though I feel like I'm missing something that everybody else gets, it's okay to be in that place, because it is possible for that place to change, and it is possible for you to move forward and to create whatever dream it is that you hold in your heart.
Wow, Melissa, that is so beautiful. And I'm going to leave this episode with those words, because I cannot improve them in any way. I think that's really well said. I do want to give any listeners a chance to reach out to you if they want to find out more about how to get in touch with you. And I'm going to have show notes, so we'll have this in writing, but what would be the best way for people to reach you?
They can send me a quick email at sacredvisionlife@gmail.com.
Okay.
And, you know, just let me know that you heard this interview and that you would like to know more. I am building a new website. It will be up hopefully soon, and that will be sacredvisionlife.com too. So you can always go there, and I will have a special gift for people that go to the website so that they can learn more. And I'm going to be sharing an experience. Right now I'm creating this journey to your sacred woman essence. And so when you go to my website, you'll be able to download that, and you'll be able to have that experience that we've been talking about.